traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You think I can fight again on your platform, Joe? Because my boys want me to stop, but I don't think I can stop at this point.
No one said we want you to stop. Yeah. We just want you to stop losing.
Yeah, or just take the L and then go win.
I was going to ask, are you feeling okay?
I do feel,
yeah.
I think.
Oh yeah,
I've been here for like an hour. You haven't sneezed yet, so I've been...
Ah, yeah, yeah. He's British.
No, no, I won, man. I really did.
Yeah, man, I won. Did you see my uppercut, man?
Guys, please. Did you see this one uppercut, dude? Wasn't that dope? Oh, my God.
Hey, you should open the show like this. That's fucking amazing.
We're already rolling. So y'all can just...
we're already rolling?
Yeah.
Oh, so you got all that.
Yeah,
yeah, man, I won. Why you guys don't let me win now?
Yeah, I lost, guys. Like 9,000 down thumbs because of this motherfucker, dude.
Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, subscribing. We're going to hit 2 million subscribers soon. That's dope. We want you to be a part of it. So hit that subscribe button if you're just watching this and not subscribed. What if the appeal comes back and it's a draw, or even in the unlikely scenario that I won? I'll say this frankly. I'm going to shit down both your throats.
Bro,
okay. All right. Dude, I'll take it, bro.
At what point can we... fucking stop talking.
That's what I'm saying. I think today we probably could stop talking about it, right? Would probably not.
We opened with it, and now literally someone right now is in fucking like Hampshire in fucking UK down thumbing the shit out of this video because he's like, I didn't lose, man. I just got a bad fucking run of it from the judges. Yeah, bro,
what's it gonna take for you to like take the L, bro? And what does that even look like,
bro? It's easy.
I just need
the official appeal to come back and the commission to go, no, we stand behind our ref's shitty decision to dock you 2 points.
You can't keep doing the little...
I can do whatever the fuck I want, Mike.
What?
You know why? Because if I'm going to fall, I'm going to go down fighting.
Or complaining.
Or holding on to someone's legs.
God damn it.
Wait, listen to me,
God
bro.
God dang it.
What are you going to say? Practice right now on air for what you're going to say when they come back and they're like, hey, man, like, we ain't changing it, dude.
Right. Yeah. You lost.
I won't do it. I'm optimistic, bro.
Bro, it doesn't matter. You can still practice.
California State Athletic Commission, I got faith in you. And I believe in your organization.
Yes. Sounds right.
Hey,
you know you have an L at the beginning and end of your name?
God. I'm Ogun Powell.
Ogun Powell.
Ogun Ow.
Bro, I'm Ogun.
How is
Ogun
that possible,
Powell.
Dude? Like, shouldn't that disqualify you from combat sports, dude?
You know what's odd, bro? I'll just say it. Most of my life before I found social media was like, I pretty successful, dude.
Yes.
Like a lot of wins. And then all of a sudden I started with this bullshit and I suck. Just L's on L's. So at what point do I just move to my ranch and shoot guns for the rest of my life?
I was talking to somebody about this last night and they're like, you know, other people when they run into like small things, like they just move. Like I told him, like, do you know what it's like to be fired upon all day? Like he has a target on his back that I don't know if it ever really goes away. People just love to hate the jock from high school. They're like, yo, that's the fucking quarterback. Get him.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I think people are just looking for a respectable L to take. Like if Tom Brady loses the Super Bowl, he just lost.
They just played
you know?
Better.
He's
than
like,
us.
You know, he's like the other team played better,
yeah,
and they go
yeah,
home.
Yeah,
they
but
go
boys,
home, pack it up.
I just like, I just don't feel like I lost. I've said it. That's the
we
narrative.
Are giving
nah,
you
bro.
These all day, little sets. All you got to do is spike home, and
nah,
your dignity
nah,
just comes
because,
back.
No, nah, fuck my dignity. It's been gone since Tokyo. All right, I don't need that shit anymore. I'm over it.
All right,
I'm over it. There's some good news.
What do we got?
Actually, this is great. My Instagram crush, DM me.
Whoa.
Wow.
Damn. Who is it?
Here's why this is a big deal. I don't want to say her name, but here's why it's a big deal. And kids, pay attention, because you should never give up, just like this California State Athletic Commission thing.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
Never give up. All right.
There's so some girls out there that just like dudes that don't take L's.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm weak with my DM game, if I'm being honest. I've said it on this show before. I put absolutely zero effort into it.
You're not weak. You're really? Lazy. You're lazy when it comes to
lazy.
DMs.
Yeah.
You send
yeah.
the fuck.
Yeah, like, look, all right. So here's what I did. Number one, I usually open with this. Okay. Just a dancing
lady
to let the girl know that I'm fun and I like to dance.
Do you make it like appropriate to their hair color or just toss?
No, it's always the blonde.
Okay.
Cause my mom's blonde.
And do you only send one emoji because you're able to do that with just your left arm?
Yeah.
Cause you can't use.
Well, I'll DM like maybe one girl every 2 months and I'm.
Just cause you can't use.
Oh, it's funny.
Because the right hand.
I just wonder when it's going to stop being funny.
When you take the L.
yeah, I should have thrown my right hand. All right. So just like any other normal girl with a brain, she didn't respond. Because why would you?
Yeah.
This is so dumb. So that was in February.
Wow.
And then in March.
Wow.
I said, come to LA with the bread.
With the breadstick?
Because, dude, like, girls like love bread.
Food. Girls like bread.
I've run on this platform for 34 fucking years. Girls love food and bread is one of their main loves.
They love it.
Yeah. It also looks like a penis though. So that could have backfired.
Facts.
Oh.
Or reef or upfired.
So this is where
I don't know about that.
This is where like, again, like I'm going to get pretty vulnerable now and say like, never give up kids. And I'm actually quite embarrassed because now I'm in too deep. Right.
So yep, you got to send the third.
So I got to send the third May 16th. Fucking fuck. I'm 3 DMs deep. Bleh.
I can't believe you said, you know what? I just realized why this happened. Look at the fucking timestamp. This dude was fucking wasted, bro. He sent it at 3:20 a.m., bro. He's probably laying at home alone in bed. And he's like, why not shoot again?
Because I love her. Wow. I love her.
Wow. This is impressive. And that one worked?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Yep. She saw the 3:20.
Then we had an episode of The Night Shift, Mike's show, where we talked about our Instagram crushes.
Wow.
And I mentioned her, and Mike's fans, I think, like spammed her IG or some shit.
They just kept commenting on her photos. By the way, and this is what we think happened. My belief
we're
is
speculating
that,
here.
But my belief is that she probably watches and subscribes to The Night Shift, and she probably saw it for herself. Because, first of all, why the fuck wouldn't she? Of
course. Absolutely plausible. Yeah. Point is, yesterday, she mentioned me in her story. I saw this DM. My heart grew a little bit.
Wait,
swelled
I didn't know
up
this.
A little bit. Yeah.
What'd she mention?
She, this is actually interesting too. She remade the bottle DJ video that I made. And she said like something like Logan Paul, we copied you or something, or like we didn't copy you or something. And then it got me thinking. I was like, yo, what if sketch comedy is the key to getting your Instagram crushes? Girls love sketch comedy, which brings us back to the TikTok conversation.
Wow. Boys, I'm doing TikTok. I'm doing TikTok. I will kill everyone in this fucking room.
Nah.
I will find a weapon and I will fucking kill everyone.
I'm doing TikTok, bro.
Suck your mom.
Why did you say that?
I'll tell you why. Because it's a growing platform. And I'll pat myself on the back. I've mastered the art of short form sketch comedy. Vine, Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah.
That's my shit, bro.
Yeah.
So why would I not do it so I can impress my Instagram crush?
You're too old for that fucking platform. But well, you don't have the skill set anymore.
It shows girls love guys who are funny. And if you're constantly putting out stuff that you're funny, absolutely, you're showing your personality.
That's the only reason Mike gets girls.
Oh, yeah?
Coaxes them in.
You think it's funny when they do, I was so beautiful, now look at me, and their fucking outfit changes by itself? You think that's fucking funny? You think this is funny, Spencer? Yeah,
what he put together, the DJ bottle cap challenge, was hilarious, okay? So there's a level.
That was not on TikTok.
There's a level to it. No.
No, but the point is it could have been, and it would have went crazy viral. I'm just saying, dude, like, don't sleep on the short form comedy, which happens to be TikTok.
So using TikTok as a distribution platform for your own content, not for like using the hashtags and dick riding the songs.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't want to lip sync to songs.
Okay. That makes sense.
You're not going to team back up with Hancher.
I mean,
for some Chris Daughtry, which by the way, your brother's best friends with.
Yeah. I don't know, bro. Who knows? You guys, Black Friday's coming up.
Oh shit.
That's cool. I went to Black Friday 1 year back in Ohio. I got kicked in the stomach.
Really?
Yeah, I got kicked in the stomach by a mother. I was like 12.
Are people still doing that nowadays?
Kicking stomachs?
Like they're still running into stores and like killing each other?
Yeah,
really?
I think so.
That's a thing still?
Oh, it's big.
What'd you say?
REI does opt out. So they opt out of Black Friday. They close their stores.
Really?
People to go outside and go hiking.
Yeah, just go something productive with life.
Except also probably a horrible business.
Yeah, wonder what type of revenue that drives for him, dude.
Well, there's no need to get crazy this year, guys, because I'm letting you know about a deal ahead of time, Black Friday / Cyber Monday, on something you're actually going to use every single day, a pair of wireless earbuds or headphones from Raycon. You guys know about Raycon. It's an awesome company founded by Ray J. He was sick of premium audio being so expensive, so he and a bunch of audio engineers and music industry folks developed Raycon's line of awesome wireless headphones and earbuds. They sound just as good as other premium brands, but started about half the price. You don't have to worry about dangling stems or any wires to get in your way. It's true wireless audio with seamless Bluetooth pairing. Some days I have a problem reading.
Bluetooth?
Most days. I can't read. If this came with pictures, it'd be much easier. Go to buyraycon.com/Logan to check out Raycon's Black Friday and Cyber Monday savings. Again, that's buyraycon.com/Logan to get an amazing Black Friday deal on Raycon's. It says to say it one more time, buyraycon.com/Logan.
Nice.
Might as well fire it off.
You nailed that.
There we go.
Thanks, guys.
What's everybody's like, you know, we say like, I'm off today. What's everybody's like off or on factor? Where you at, like out of 10?
I'm pretty low.
Low?
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I'm at 2.
I think the second podcast today, I'll fire up.
Yeah, but I feel like because of who today's guest is, we have to fire it the fuck up a little bit. Oh, bro.
As soon as he gets here, we'll be good.
Okay.
Well, he's actually here right now. Guys, he's the executive vice president of DAZN, the platform that hosted KSI versus Logan Paul 2. Here to talk fight aftermath, big business, and much more. It's Joe Markowski.
Big Joe.
How you doing, boys?
Big Joe.
There he is.
Good to see you, man.
How you guys doing?
Damn, you are big, dude.
He is big.
I'm sure when I sit down, I've got very little
legs.
Yeah,
you sank that chair down.
I get up on trains and people are like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Get down, look!
Yeah. Now, you're taller than Mike, which is we went to dinner the other day, and you know, I couldn't help but notice what a strapping group of lads we were.
Can you imagine just seeing that table with boys just sitting over there?
Especially Joe. Look at this Brit.
And we had some approachers come over. Remember the girls? And they tried to read your palm?
Slightly older women.
Slightly is a nice way of putting it.
You remember I had
mom's night out?
I had to snap on him. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I like that. It was a good move.
So like, bro, it's funny you saw that because like, it takes a decent amount of both alcohol and impatience for me to snap. And she hit me at the wrong time. What happened was she thought I was like filming her and I was like filming Mike and she happened to be in the background and for like the third time.
It was an excuse to come over.
Yeah. She's like, I don't want to be in your video. I'm like, lady, I don't want you in my video. You just happen to be in the background.
Yeah. I was impressed by both of your ability after not drinking for some time to handle your booze over that dinner.
We crushed we pounded it. Night. Yeah, we drank a lot that night.
I fell asleep in the cab.
I
fell asleep in the cab on the way
back.
Remember,
you were going to come out with us after we were going to whose party we're going to? And it was like tight.
I think it was Diplo's.
Yeah, and it was a tight list.
It was a Diplo's personal birthday party.
Their livers, they have like a record of all the alcohol consumed. So like they don't forget, man. They can handle it.
I didn't handle it as well as you thought. I'm good at faking it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then when we took the nap in the Uber on the way to the party, I was literally like, poor Joe,
you wake up with a hangover going into the party.
He's good at it. He calls it collecting. So he's like, I'm like, are you sleeping right now? He's like, no, I'm just collecting my thoughts.
I need I think Einstein did this. He would sit in a spoon and he'd sit in a chair.
I was going to say, dude, come on.
I wouldn't put it past him.
What, was he an embryo? What the fuck is good?
He'd sit in a chair and he'd hold a spoon and he'd fall asleep. And when he fell asleep, he'd lose motor control. The spoon would hit the floor, make a cling sound and wake him up. And it'd be about 15 minutes each time. He'd call it a little power nap. And so that's what I do in the car.
What? I mean, that's insane.
Do you carry a spoon with you everywhere you go?
Everywhere I go.
Yeah, nice.
I prefer sporks. They make a little louder clack. Joe, how you doing, bro?
I'm good. It's good to be here. Nice to be in LA. New York weather is not great at the moment. So it's nice to be on the West Coast.
You travel a ton. That's what I've noticed through our relationship. Can you remind everyone exactly what DAZN is, besides the fact that they hosted my fight against KSI? And I guess we were technically like partners in that, right?
We're still partners, I hope.
Yes.
I think the best way to describe DAZN is we're a global business. We're a sports broadcasting service, but we only broadcast on the internet. So we call it OTT. It's a bit like Netflix, a bit like Amazon Prime. It's sports broadcasting only on...
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Are an app that's on the internet.
Over the top.
Over the top is what you call it. Yeah, it's a boring industry term. But we're nine markets of the world. We're a UK business. We're not in the UK, but we're broadcasting in the US, Canada, Brazil, Japan, Central Europe, Italy, Spain. So nine countries.
You have plans to expand globally, I presume, yeah?
We're looking at that at the moment. But yeah, look, we had a huge launch in 2016. We've since launched in eight more markets of the world. And we're looking at markets that make sense to launch in going forward.
This is really exciting to me. And why we wanted to have you on is because it's cool to be sort of at the helm of the forefront of this and seeing what you guys can become, literally like the Netflix of sports based on digital media, which is where, you know, I started. It's very cool. And I want to ask about our fight specifically, and then I want to go kind of macro. Mm. Eddie Hearn said this was one of the most viewed live fights that DAZN had put on over like Anthony Joshua, Andy Ruiz, though it was half the price. Is that true?
I don't want to get into specific numbers. It was a tremendous success is what I would say. Mm. And I think what was really interesting is, as well as your sort of like core YouTuber audience that came in to watch, it really excited and engaged our like proper boxing fans, if you want to call them that, the subscribers we already had. So that surprised me, being honest, because if you read some of the coverage beforehand from like the hardcore fight sports journalists, they're like, this is a disgrace. It's not real. It's demeaning the sport. Who are these guys? You know, they're not going to take it seriously. I think the hype and the media coverage, I mean, we were saying beforehand, there's not many fights, there's not many sports events generally that get the attention of the New York Times, CNN, the Times of London, Financial Times. It's just everywhere. And the texts and media inquiries we were getting in the week of the fight were just, it was so widespread. It was a mainstream event, right? Yeah. So that speaks to the promotion, which was fantastic. It was a global event as well. And we generated a whole lot of buzz and audience around it, which is exactly what we wanted to do.
Yeah, it was definitely a massive success. These guys know, because I was very vocal about it here, but you guys are by far the best partners I've ever worked with. Like, for reason, the synergy was perfect.
The production,
it was a marriage made in heaven, right? Because I think our platform is perfect for your sort of digitally savvy audience. Yep. Eddie Hearn's the perfect promoter for this kind of event because he gets social media properly and he commits to it. And he's British, so he had the KSI side and your side here. So yeah, it worked brilliantly. It really did.
You think I can fight again on your platform, Joe? Because my boys want me to stop, but I don't think I can stop at this point.
No one said we want you to stop. Yeah. We just want you to stop losing.
Yeah, or just take the L and then go win.
Yeah. I was going to ask, are you feeling okay?
I do feel,
yeah.
I think.
Oh yeah,
I've been here for like an hour. You haven't sneezed yet, so I've been...
He's British.
You hate to see it.
You didn't give us your rating. What are you at today?
I'm at like a five, probably.
Five. Yeah. How about you, Joe?
I feel good.
Yeah, I need a number.
Six, seven.
Six? Yeah. We're an average of like a 4.5 right now.
But you're coming tonight to our premiere.
Yeah,
he's been on good form for that.
Andy Ruiz, Anthony Joshua... It's like a short film or something?
Yeah, it's like a short film we're launching tonight. It's a premiere in LA, appropriately, ahead of the fight on December the 7th. Big heavyweight rematch.
Big fight.
It's a big
excited
fight.
For that one. Huge. Yeah. Did you guys, did you have any idea the first one was going to be as crazy as it was?
No. Honestly, for the first 24 hours, I remember sat in the front row ringside with Eddie, who obviously is heavily invested in AJ's career.
Yep.
It was meant to be like a coming out party for AJ in America. It was his first fight in New York. Big British superhero comes over with like 10,000-12,000 Brits.
Yep.
The opponent changed last minute. No one gave Andy Ruiz a chance. And in the third round, AJ knocked him down. It was like, here we go. Spectacular knockout. This is going to be fantastic. Exactly what we expected.
Yep.
It completely flipped. And so I remember waking up on the Sunday morning just thinking, this is a disaster. we're like an Anthony Joshua broadcast. It's huge for our business that he lost. But then you realize it's given us the biggest heavyweight rematch in decades, and it's in like 2 weeks. So it's fantastic and
crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge night for us.
Where's that rematch again?
It's in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, that's one in Saudi.
That's in Saudi. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's huge, and you know it's a real crossroads for AJ to get his career back on track. So yeah, tonight's the premiere of our one night documentary about that fight.
You ever you're tight with Eddie, but you ever converse with? Or are you invested in the business of AJ at all?
Yeah, he's a partner of ours. Okay. We've done 3 of his fights now on the platform, 2 of his fights on the platform. Yeah, it's he's a big partner of ours, and we're AJ supporters for sure. It's actually nice to be here without Eddie, because the last time I was on Impulsive, Eddie took up like 85% talking the way he does. So it's nice to be here without him.
He's a real showman.
Yeah. He is a showman.
What's your prediction for this fight?
I don't know.
Are you not allowed to say?
I'm allowed to say. I think AJ's been notably, he's been under lock and key. He hasn't done much media. He's been training. He's extremely focused on this. Ruiz, you know, unexpected champion. It's like no one knows what's going
to
happen.
I wanted to ask a question because like, so as of now, I took the L.
wait.
What?
Is this happening?
What?
Are you taking it like?
No. I'm saying as of now, and I winked.
Oh.
Like, you know, like if the commission comes through,
I feel like we're making progress.
We're getting there. I took the L, but I'm in good spirits, and it just doesn't feel like a true loss. When Anthony Joshua, like you said, brings over 12,000 Brits, undefeated heavyweight champion of the world, loses to some what was a stranger named Andy Ruiz. Mm. How does one bounce back from that?
Yeah, he got a lot of attention for how he handled it immediately afterwards. In the ring afterwards, he acted like a gentleman, in my opinion. He was extremely complimentary to Ruiz's performance. He didn't seem to be visibly that upset. But he, knowing him and knowing his how much he cares about this, obviously it cut him deeply. So that's why he's been training so hard for this, for the rematch. I mean, he didn't contest a two-point deduction in the way that you did.
But he got beat. He got beat by Andy Ruiz, not by the ref.
He got knocked out. Yeah. He got TKO'd. So
it seems pretty.
I think there's also
set in stone.
I think there's also a piece of the puzzle that a lot of people don't know. We in contesting the decision, Logan has actually negotiated a contract for a movie that we have. I believe are looking at the. Do you have the artwork for it?
I do. So we're gonna make We're going to make a movie out of this. It's called Never Take the L, starring Ogan Powell. So I'm looking forward to acting in this movie.
Yes. Shout out Mac Bilski for the quick artwork.
Mac was a big star, as were you, of our night behind the scenes. So Mac was obviously behind stage with his camera.
Yeah.
He took a photo of me and our accountant, a guy called Tom Davis. And the photo makes Tom Davis look incredibly sexy.
He loves
Tom's wife was particularly appreciative of the photo. So Matt was a real like in office superstar for the zone.
He is incredible.
Yeah.
He's an incredible photographer. Yeah. Like him in the photography world is like me in the broadcast world.
If you can make an accountant look like a movie star, you've got serious talent. So shout out to
you
Matt.
Got an accountant laid.
Yeah. By his wife.
It was really good.
The mother of his children. Yeah.
Traffic jams, tailgating. Pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What happens if Anthony Joshua loses this fight?
I mean, his career will be at a crossroads at that point.
He fights KSI.
No, he fights.
It takes an easier fight against Ogan Powell. Yeah. I think I don't know. The serious answer is that's the consequences of that are probably pretty significant for his career. So yeah. That's why he's hugely focused on not doing that, not losing.
Are you at all invested in the psyche of the athletes, or are you more on the business side? Like, does boxing and do sports excite you? Is that why you got into 100%. This?
Yeah, I wasn't hugely into boxing personally before this like latest project. And I like that. I don't like working in sports. I'm particularly passionate about. So I'm British, right? Loving that sort of education in British slang that I'm getting from Mike in the last couple of days.
By the way, really quickly, I know that it's a fucking nonce and an arse. Like I'm not, guys, of the highest IQ.
I thought it was nonce,
like,
dude.
No, yeah. I never thought it was that. Tyson, I know how to pronounce the fucking words. I was doing it as a slight back to the fucking little UK fucks that are slanging them.
Yeah, well, it's nice to be here. Shit. Thanks for having me.
Your IQ is tied for first, by the way. I just got to make that correction. You're not first. You're tied for first.
Yeah. But the
that is true.
Yeah. So calm down. With Andre. Yeah.
But I told you, Andre doesn't come. Me and Andre scored 127s on the IQ test, which I think is that tied with Rogan? It was?
Yeah.
Tied with Rogan. I think Andre cheated, to be honest with you.
Really, you can't take the L either. Huh? What's your name? Mike Majak.
Mine would be not taking the draw, though, because like I'm just not accepting it.
Okay. Hold on. It's pronounced nonce.
Yeah, you don't say
It's not a nice word.
It's a horrible word. Yeah. It's like a pedo.
The one that made me laugh though is suck your mum.
That's
something that me and my friends grew up like exchanging. When we're 14.
What is it?
What's the American equivalent?
The American equivalent is go fuck your mother. We say it on the East Coast all the time. Fuck your mom, dude.
Yeah?
That's what it is.
Oh, wow.
You say that shit, Jeff. Stop acting holier than thou.
They were cheering that at me at the press conference. They go, suck your mom. I shook a finger at them. I was like, guys, like, bro, no, don't take this personally, like British fans, but like KSI's British fans, I feel like they just need a good like reprimanding. Like, hey, come on.
Like that kid you saw Rock and Roller, obviously. Yep. Classic yep. British film.
Great film.
The dad, the guy who ended up being not Lenny, but the boss man. Mm, mm. He whipped the shit out of fucking the Rock and Roller at one point with the belt. Are you saying like they need a good belting, dude? While they're listening to The Cure.
I wouldn't condone that sort of parenting.
Just a finger shake, guys. Like, let's be honest, I'm not going to suck my mom.
Yeah,
Pam's a great lady. Help Pamsters.
It's fucked up because those are like my people, bro. Those like renegade street kids. They're all coming after. They fucking hate
you. They hate you the most.
The most out of anybody, dude. Because in the weeks leading up to the fight, I took Logan's side on everything. Like I was like, yo, he says first round decapitation. That's called riding for your team.
It's called being
rallying
yes,
your
man.
Team.
It's being a yes man.
And I've caught a lot of slack for it. And by the way, I'll come out and say it like, I probably have done a little bit of that. You know what I'm saying? Like because I didn't really want, like, to be candid, I didn't really want him to contest the decision. I really didn't want him to. I wanted him to, because I thought it was a great opportunity for him to graciously take the loss and to own that fucking situation. And people know watching it that it was very close and it could have been judged either way.
Well, yeah.
But I did come out and I backed him and I was like, yeah, contest the decision. We're contesting it. And like for that.
For someone who claims to be authentic to his audience.
Yeah, I fucked up.
He's been a good friend.
No, I'll own it. I fucked up because of loyalty and friendship. I did.
I wouldn't call that a fuck up. What I would say is disregarding that, there's no question that it was a positive surprise how genuinely competitive the fight was.
Oh my God.
How impressive it was, you know, from a boxing perspective, and also just how seriously you guys took the training camp. I was sat, obviously we had like real fights on the undercard with Billy Joe Saunders and Devin Haney, who were both like world champions in their own right. Their teams were sat around where Eddie and I were sat and near the fake Ed Sheeran, which we should talk about in a second, right? Which is a hilarious story. But by the end of the second round, they were going, oh, KSI won that round. You're like, proper boxing people properly invested in the fight.
Interesting.
Which is something, and these are the same guys and the journalists who a week prior were going, this is a fucking joke. This isn't real. This is, so I think you did both of yourselves proud in how you approached it and how you performed. Yeah. So disregarding results or whatever happens next, it was, that shut a lot of people up.
Well,
so
we both put in the work.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
like a lot of work. And we made that very vocal. And I think when, like, and I was going to ask you about this, the conversation expands to maybe DAZN doing like a celebrity fight match or event, or maybe even like a league. Cause like we've talked about it. Celebrities hashing out their beef via boxing. Mm. My gut tells me most of them won't be willing to put in the work it requires, like 3 months of training camp plus.
I think some will. I think it just depends on who you're talking about. Like you've seen other influencers, maybe not the exact same level as you guys, but you've seen like the Face Senseis and the other people Joe Weller, you know, and by the way, that's one person that I didn't get a chance to talk to. And I wish I did. I didn't even get a chance to shake hands with them. We were at that. Go back to your thought.
Yeah. I was just saying like you could be right, but like there's a level that a celebrity or influencer reaches where they quickly realize like, wait a second, I don't have to work hard to get punched in the face. Yes, Joe Weller did it, but you know, what does Joe Weller have to lose? KSI dropped his YouTube career. I dropped everything that I was doing. And we did this thing. Like, what are the chances that I'll just throw a name out there? What are the chances that like, Tyga wants to box Soulja Boy and Tyga stops making music to become a boxer?
I could see
it.
I could see like somebody like Wiz Khalifa, like somebody who's actually put in already work and wants to have a fight. Yeah,
some shit.
It could happen. There's people out there.
Well, I also think too, like I said, I think you're looking at people at the highest level, but I think like Weller had shit going on. Like you said, what did he have to lose? He didn't have nothing to lose. Like he clearly had something, you know what I'm saying? And he was willing to put it on hold. Like
the fight was the most exciting thing in his life. And that's why I took it as well.
Yeah. That's the same for you last few months, right?
Facts. Yeah. The fight was the most exciting thing in my life. I'm saying, for someone who has like, again, I'll just use Tyga. I don't know why he's coming to mind, but like he can sell out, massive venues, and that's exciting. So why would he remove that from his life?
Yeah, and risk you take probably a loss,
like, and not like, only a loss, but like severe health risks.
That's the thing. Like, it's a proper serious sport.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. You've got to take it. Around. People say you can't play boxing. You can play football. You can play basketball. You can't play boxing. And I think that the credibility, there's a risk factor there for us. Being candid, that if you guys got in the ring and it had been like a joke, we would be looking at it going, yeah, not doing that again.
Yeah.
Because credibility for us as a boxing broadcaster, us as a sports broadcaster, you as fighters would have been lost. I think that there's no question the credibility was there based on how seriously you took it, the camps you put together, and ultimately the performance you put in on the night.
Did y'all use the first fight as a case study?
Yeah, 100%.
And
to be fair, Eddie brought this to us a year ago and said, have you seen what just happened on this YouTube pay-per-view? Yeah. We were planning out our schedule and we just jumped on it. As you say, it's a marriage made in heaven. Yeah, it made sense for us.
Eddie was historically blown away by that first fight. He knew it.
He was a naysayer before it happened. Right. He didn't want to get involved in the first one. But you know, you guys had a case study, you proved a value and we proved the concept and we've run with it and built on it for this time.
What was the sentiment from the reporters that you said were, you know, kind of against the fight? Logan's been stating he's felt like there was a lot of people in the boxing community that thought the 2-point deduction wasn't legitimate, thought,
here we go,
you know, maybe it could have been a closer match.
I thought you were trying to shut this conversation down.
Well, no, I think you might be able to with this.
Has he just texted you there?
Yeah. No. I think real talk, because if you know, you're coming from an unbiased perspective, what are these reporters saying? Are they saying, you know, that was scored correctly?
I think they say that they're going to follow the contest. There's lots of controversy in boxing. They follow these things. I think they've treated, I mean, I've seen the proper boxing bloggers and YouTube like channels and journalists putting out like legit stories about the performance, not like two YouTubers have fight in Staples Center. So that they're taking seriously. Being candid, they move on to the next thing, right? Yeah. The next thing is AJ Ruiz in 2 weeks.
I realized this also so quickly. And honestly, it's sort of depressing. Like, it makes me feel a weird anxiety, not to get like crazy deep, but you put in all this effort to do this one thing. And I bet even, I wouldn't be surprised if JJ's feeling a little bit of this too. It's just like confusion with the fact that everyone moves on
so
quickly.
It's like a sugar rush. It's like the end of a sugar rush. Yeah.
Everyone on to the next thing.
I was going to ask you about that. Like, you put in 3 months of your life, your lifestyle fundamentally changed.
Yeah.
You kick these guys out of the house for a week. Like loads of things happen. You properly dedicate.
Yeah.
What does that feel like? Like to walking out, winning, losing, whatever, participating. How did that emotionally feel?
Participation is like, and I feel this a lot, it's like a blessed confusion. Mm. Like I'm so grateful, but I also don't understand how my life has become this. I just know that if I work as hard as I possibly can,
I can't really lose, and which is maybe why I just don't feel like I lost. I put my all into it. Like, there wasn't a day where I missed a rep or like was complaining about sparring or didn't do what I was supposed to do in drills. Mm. But it is definitely, it 100% gives me a weird form of, and I've said this before, uncomfortable freedom now that I have my life back, but I just have to decide what I'm going to do next.
Mm. It's a weird situation. I told them there's a lot of people like the Patriots or people that train their entire lives to get to the big game, to get to the Super Bowl, you know, their whole lives for that one day. Mm. And something doesn't go the right way. A ref throws a flag that pushes you downfield 15 yards or something, and you take the loss and you walk out of it, but they always have the ability to say, we'll get them next time. Mm. We'll get them next time. You know what I'm saying? And so like, it's something that's currently absent for him in this strange transition that may or may not produce another fight.
Because there's not an immediate opportunity to rectify.
He can't rectify immediately.
But that's not even like
what
like,
it is. No, I get
like
it.
We fought twice now. I'm not like, I would love a third fight, but I'm also not like, I need to fucking beat this kid. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But on your point, that feeling, although you just kind of paired it with the loss, also is very synonymous with wins as well. Like, remember when we had Steve Weatherford on?
Of course.
The punter.
Of course.
And he said he won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Locker room celebration. He's in his hotel that night. He's like, wait, this is it? Mm. I worked my whole life to do this thing. Mm. I did it. And now what? Tyson Fury said the same thing. He won the like the championship.
Yeah, the lineal championship. Yep. Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I did it.
But doesn't it, like, isn't greatness defined by like how you step on beyond that? Like, some people will be satisfied, like their life ambition is done. They've achieved what they set out to achieve as they were a kid, and then like call it a day, retire, stop doing whatever they were doing. Mm. But like, the greats go on and set the next thing and forget about that.
I think it's just that period like right after, and I struggled to make the comparison, but and I mean no disrespect by it, but it's almost like coming home from war. You're home now. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't want to say that.
Of course,
but I was thinking
obviously
the same
I'm
thing.
Not making it as a fucking exact comparison, but like you're used to the same training regimen every fucking day. You go over there, you fucking go to war, and you come home, and now all of a sudden you've got nothing. Like you've got, you know, and by the way, it brings up the issue that exists in this country with veterans that have not been given proper reintroduction in society. It's something we don't talk about a lot in the show, but it's a massive problem here where they come back and they're not given their use of structure and support for years and years and years and years. And then they come home and they're like, yo, thanks for your service. Mm. And then they're just launched back into society.
You have to figure out how to reintegrate and use what you gain from that journey, you know, into the next chapter. Mm. Like it's the freedom is there to decide, and that causes the anxiety. But once you find what it is and you decide, don't go back to the lifestyle or the habits that you weren't happy with, that you trained out of.
A lot of sportsmen talk about this, like leaving the locker room environment after 20 years professional career and 15 years as a kid, college, whatever. You're like in your mid-30s and you're suddenly, you know, most of the time not that wealthy, in your mid-30s, late-30s, and you're sat there going, well, what now? Mm-hmm. I've left school at 16, didn't have a real degree, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you're suddenly in real life and the support structure, to your point, is just gone. Mm-hmm. It's a problem.
Sports, for that reason, scare me for the athletes, especially like NFL and the NBA. Mm. And by the way, we're like tight with some of these guys. Yep. And a lot of them actually are getting financial advisors early on.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of their strategies are like,
it's like ballers.
Like, exactly. Yeah. Like they only spend their sponsorship money.
Yeah.
They save all this.
Yeah. Yeah. And they are getting smarter with it, but yeah, I can, cause you can't be athletic forever, which is why actually like I'm grateful for this and like my ability.
Clearly
to
this house, you're only spending your sponsorship money as well. Can I just say this house is like, if you'd given me and my friends at university $20 million, this is exactly what we would have built as well. It's
great.
Awesome.
It's great.
It's great.
And this house is a result of that proper management and proper structure at the time when he needed it. Like when these influencers and athletes get hot nowadays, they need someone there telling them, yo, like, you should be building IP, you should be, you know, creating a structure for product, you know, distribution, and people are getting smarter. There's still a ton of opportunity in this fucking city, to be honest with you. And a lot of, there's also a lot of dumb people that continue to manage. And so, but
Jeff.
Jeff was there. Contrary, Jeff was there on the front end of it. And he was one of the good ones. But there's a lot of people out there who have no idea how to fucking capitalize on that.
How did this fight affect his own strategy moving forward?
I think it definitely gave us a lot of learnings. I mean, we learned a hell of a lot on this new world. Like, we didn't know much about your world and the influencer world beforehand. I'm watching a lot more Night Shift than I was 6 weeks ago. That's for sure.
There we go.
But the,
can we just slow down the conversation for a second? I hate to bookmark it, but you don't watch a lot of YouTube, right?
I'm like your perfect fan base. The way you described it dinner the other night is perfect.
What is it? It's like
you're like, I'm the guy that makes YouTube for people who don't fuck with YouTube. Yeah, that's
exactly,
me.
Exactly. Yeah. When Logan told me this, I was like, this is amazing. Yeah. And like, I'm still getting kind of used to it now, but yeah.
You're doing good, bro.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah, you're doing good.
I mean, you're a part of it, bro. I'm just a predecessor.
Mm. Also, star of our countdown show, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. That was fun.
What was the feedback?
That did 25 million viewers globally, that
show. You know my Instagram popped by like 20,000?
Yeah.
20 fucking thousand in one night because of that show. Insane. My favorite part was the reroute on why KSI's fans were watching.
So the context for this, we had like a counter on, there was like a, like a YouTube count viewership on the same show going on Logan's channel and the show going on KSI's channel. And at one point KSI's numbers were bigger, right?
Yeah.
And so our broadcast team were like, oh, Mike, you're the locker room reporter for Logan Paul. Can you tell us why you think, you know, Logan's getting beaten on the numbers by KSI? And Mike was like, what did you say? You were like,
I said, this is actually a marketing tactic employed by Logan to get his fans to watch on JJ's channel. Yeah. And it was like this whole fucking
And then he's like, at the end, before we cut away, he's going,
oh, yeah, dude. I was like, I nailed it, bro. And then they asked me after, they were like, do you have another similar style excuse in mind in case Logan loses? And in my mind at the time, I was like, okay, bro. And now in reality, I wish I had something like sneeze or some shit lined up, bro.
Yeah, the importance of preparation before you go live on air. Yeah,
I didn't prep, bro. Yeah. But that was weird. It was weird. Like that's like the second or third like broadcast style thing. The other was the Challenger games that I've done. And like, I'm not from this world, bro. Like it's all very new to me. And they're like giving me makeup pop-ins with the makeup lady. And they're like, we're now over to Mike. And I'm just like standing there fucking like a idiot, dude.
I think that's amazing. Fun, I mean, in our previous conversation though, from bouncing back, I know we talk about it all the time. Like you as a human being, like what you're doing right now is just insane to watch. Like to see what you've been through in your life. You're finding a career on YouTube. Like I think that's the day and age we live in. Like you can, with social media, we're all given a platform. You can do something with it.
I mean, that's been my message since day one. And I think all of us, you know, all four of us probably in some way, shape or form can continue to convey that message that it doesn't matter where you are right now, as you're watching this, it doesn't matter what struggles you're going through in your life, because you know, at some time or another, all of us have seen tremendous downs, you know, and I'm not the only fucking person who's been there. Mine may have been a little bit fucking lower, but like anybody can truly bounce back and create something for themselves because of how not easy it is, but how like
readily available
it is to brand yourselves nowadays and create IP for yourselves. Like anybody watching the show can do it. And that's got to feel really good for the first time ever in history.
Yeah. Truth.
I wanted to ask about the British fans because they are so dedicated, so loyal.
Oh my God.
It blows my mind. Is it like a culture thing?
Yeah. I think passion is a word that springs to mind with any UK sports fan, right? So if you go to a UK soccer game, like violent passion at sometimes, it used to be really bad. Like the 80s, there was a big hooliganism culture, like organized fighting before soccer
hooliganism.
Games, right?
Hooliganism. That's what it was. Yeah. Wow.
And like, you know, we'd go, it'd be embarrassing. England would play Italy or England would play Spain in Madrid, and there'd be like the square in Madrid before the game would be like water cannons, the police like firing at 2,000 drunk Brits throwing plastic chairs.
What is a water cannon?
It's like a big tank. It comes out on a tank and they spray it.
Like, you know, they fire like rubber bullets to control crowd and they fire like...
Shut up. They do this to people?
They're doing it right now in Hong Kong, dude, every day. Another thing we haven't talked about on here, like, maybe we can at some point.
In the positive side of that is the passion they have for the sport, right? The same is true of all sports. Like Japan just now, the Rugby World Cup, England got to the final. There were the majority of the people in the stadium in Tokyo were British English rugby fans. Cricket, which is a British sport, you know, the majority of a game in South Africa or Australia will be traveling British supporters. Like the passion for sport in the country is huge, and it helps us punch above our weight internationally on sport. Like England semi-final World Cup soccer last year, World Cup rugby final 3 weeks ago, and they won the Cricket World Cup this summer.
How much of it is passion versus quantity of pubs? Like
I think passion mixed with a few pubs obviously helps.
It's a dangerous combo.
Occasionally gets out of hand, but yeah, like sport in the UK is huge. And I think for me though, that was my concern going into this event was like, this isn't like real sport. With all due respect, it's like a new thing for us. Yep. It's an experiment. I got on stage at the London press conference, narrowly avoided getting hit by like a Bible that was thrown at me and like pots of Vaseline being thrown at Eddie Hearn.
Yeah, yeah.
Me and Eddie looking at him like, Jesus Christ, like what have we unlocked here? This is nuts. Jesus. But then like the passion those guys have, obviously anti you and your brother in that environment, but you think, right, there's a huge audience for this. And sometimes the behavior gets a bit out of hand, but—
See, that's a perfect contrast. When we were in London, we're getting thrown like paint cans and like axes. You come to LA, it's Bibles and Vaseline. Oh, yeah.
Wait, that was in London.
No, that was in London.
Oh, this was in London.
All the projectors.
Wow, I got everything.
Bro, I kept a 20 pence coin. I'm going to frame it next to like some,
I got
like,
hit with a nickel or two, too.
I got hit with it.
All the projectiles are in London. Here, it's just a bunch of weed smoke. You walk out on stage, you can't fucking
It was downtown LA.
Like,
weed smoke and urine. A nice mixture of the fucking two.
Yeah, you might see some dicks.
Is UK, somebody, a bunch of people have tweeted at me since the fight, that not only sports, but also that UK YouTube is stronger than American YouTube.
You tell me. I mean, that's your world.
What
that's
are
not
your
mine.
Thoughts, Logan?
I would say yes. I think there's like a really strong sense of nationalism that transcends to
patriotism.
Digital.
Yeah.
Patriotism.
Yeah, for sure. No, but I mean, they're semi-interchangeable.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I also think KSI and the Sidemen do a good job of like really fostering that. But it boggles my mind, and you explained the dart phenomenon to us, and I want you to like
that's Eddie and his dad.
So what happens? They fill up stadiums to watch people throw darts.
So the promoter Matchroom put on this event. So Eddie's company also do other sports.
Okay,
darts is like a pub game, right? Originally, where you throw arrows at a board on darts, right?
Yeah.
But they took that and they made it into a professional sport. I think Barry, Eddie's dad, who founded the company, did it maybe 15, 20 years ago. It's now a professional sport, and the world championships every year in December go for 3 weeks up to Christmas, and they end in the new year. It's in the month of December, I think on Sky Sports, it's the second most viewed content after the Premier League soccer.
What?
Throwing darts.
It's darts. And it's like, and the guys obviously like, they're a different kind of athlete, right? They're quite big guys.
Right, of
they're
course.
Big in Holland, big in Australia, big in the UK and Ireland.
Can you like drink beer while you're playing?
I think they've changed that. They used to drink,
yeah,
they used to drink on stage.
That.
Yeah. But yeah, that's now a serious sport. And the crowds, they're talking about passion. You go and it's like fancy dress theme. So you go and you sit down, it's like, maybe 5,000 guys, mainly men, drinking a hell of a lot over 4-hour sessions. There's some stat about the average consumption of beer at a soccer game, which goes on for, let's say, 2 hours. It's like 3 pints. But in darts, in a 4-hour session, it's like 11 pints.
Well, in all seriousness,
that is insane. I don't understand. Just to watch people throw darts?
In all seriousness, no.
But it's narrative.
It's a very common theme in the UK to have quite a bit of beer during lunch, correct? Like or throughout the day.
Is that?
Yeah.
Because as soon as the beers start going back,
I don't want to portray my countrymen as like alcoholics.
No,
like,
of course.
People
not.
Like
of course
drinking
not.
In the US
of course,
as much as they do in the UK. I think sport, there's a culture of drinking whilst watching sport
okay,
in the UK.
I mean, we have that too. Very much so. With
absolutely.
The NFL.
Tailgating.
I
mean,
yeah, absolutely.
It's just in a different form. It comes in like a 30 rack.
So this venue where they have the World Championships is in a very hard to get to part of North London, a place called Alexandra Palace. And like people come in minibuses from all over the country to watch it with their friends. It's like a Christmas day out. It's amazing.
When is it again?
Like the month of December. It starts
soon?
It's 3 weeks. Yeah.
Should we go?
Eddie would love to host you.
I mean,
they'd love to have you there.
Yo,
here's my
crazy
darts.
Because then you'll just
no,
get
no, no,
darts
no.
thrown at
no,
you.
Fuck
then they
that.
Actually have weapons.
Here's my question.
I'm not going to attack you with darts. The professional athletes.
No. The fans.
No,
they don't carry darts. They don't carry darts.
They just have fucking.
I don't know.
Do you go to a baseball game with your own baseball?
I don't go to a baseball game with Vaseline and a Bible
either.
So you can just Joe. Don't count them out.
I have been in so many words called the great peacekeeper, okay? And the relationship, the bridge that has been burned builder, okay?
Have you?
Hold on.
By who?
Tug it off there, Mike.
Here we go.
By the way,
I've never been called anything.
I missed
so I'm
that
just,
one.
I'm
yeah.
just saying that. But
the songbird.
But I do quite a bit try to fix relationships that have been fucked through dumb shit. Mm-hmm. What stops us from a KSI, Logan Paul, Sidemen, Team Maverick collaboration for the darts tournament. We show up as friends. We watch the darts. We kick back a few beers. Me and Bazinga talk shit about women, bro. Like, and hang out, shoot the shit. Like, hang out with Rote Tushaw, dude. Like, what stops that from happening?
See, they wear like these like silk shirts. They're almost like Hawaiian style shirts with their own branding. Yes, you could have like Team Maverick shirts made.
Sidemen collab. Yeah. But like, question, like, do you see a world where there's a value to us all being friends, wearing kilts, hanging out, drinking?
Sure. I'm all ears to that sort of stuff. Why would you wear kilts? It's not in Scotland.
Because the Cal Freezy guy rocks the kilt.
Right, okay.
If it helps me build a friendship between us and the Sidemen and everybody, we could all be friends and hang out and make money together, I'll fucking rock a kilt. Right now, buy me a kilt and I'll wear that shit.
I love it, bro. I love visualizing you in a kilt, but he's got to take the L first, bro.
Oh, he will. Trust me, it's all going to happen in line, dude. Don't worry about it. I got it all played out.
The sooner the better, man.
Andy Foster, bro.
No, not again.
I'm rooting on you.
Yo.
Can you imagine? I will drive to the UK.
Can you imagine?
You talked about MMA, you talked about more boxing, you clearly got into it.
Yeah.
You got that sugar rush feeling at the end of it, like a bit of a hangover. What are you planning to do?
Man, I've been saying it since KSI called me out the first time. I really, really, really want to do MMA. Even actually my penalty or my foul in the fight was sort of like an MMA-based
move.
Like I was around the back of his head just because... With wrestling, I've learned how to manipulate bodies and just go with the flow of where my body ends up. Mm. And my hand, when I tried to throw the hook, kind of just ended up here and it just stayed here versus like a professional boxer might have pulled that away knowing that he's not allowed to do that.
But I mean, that makes sense. We've said that, everybody said that since day one, that it makes more sense for him to be in the octagon. It just wasn't obviously something that JJ was going to be willing to do. He's got to pass in the ring.
You guys,
we have a relationship with Bellator MMA. So yeah, we're all ears to that sort of thing. I think it's just interesting to see what you and JJ want to do next.
Have you talked to JJ about does he want to stay in fighting or is he done?
Yeah, we're talking. I mean, I think he's taking some holiday and we're going to sit down with him at the right time and his management team. But look, as I say,
he's actually in LA right now.
Yeah, you guys both covered yourselves in glory. You perform well, you train well, you respected the sport. Combat sports is no joke. And I think that opens up opportunity for you if you want to do it down the line.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
And we're interested in that.
Man, I love it so much. And I also love the respect that you get as a fighter. Like people just treat you differently. It's a big level up in a way. Cause not a lot of people are willing to like risk their face and want to beat people up. Jake Paul versus Anderson Gibb.
Mm.
Is that happening on DAZN?
We'd love it to happen on DAZN. We're in a conversation with Jake right now.
Is that the official fight? Is that announced yet?
I don't know.
No, it's not announced.
But it's looking like it.
They both said yes. Jake is training very, very hard right now in San Diego.
Ryan Garcia in San Diego, right?
With Ryan Garcia, bro. He sends his videos like he's doing like jogs in the morning, 3-a-days, 2-a-days. And my question to my brother would be like, as of now, for what? Because if you haven't inked the deal yet, I mean, and this is part of the reason why Jake's great is because he takes the leap.
Mm.
And who knows? He might actually take boxing farther than I will, but we'll see.
The fight's going to happen. The reason it's not announced yet and the reason why it's not doesn't have a date is because of the stuff we can't talk about on the show. There's, you know, it's just a bunch of behind the scenes fucking trying to make the numbers work. And
how do you stay neutral? Like in general.
What, between two different fight camps?
Yeah, and I was going to ask Eddie too, and it's funny because like being a person who like has that social wherewithal, you guys both do a really good job of it, but is it hard to do this podcast or have a dinner with us and go have a dinner with KSI?
No, I don't think so. Everyone knows the score, right? Like we're partners collectively in an event, and that's true of every fighter we work with. I'd say we spent more time with you guys as fighters than we would do with proper fighters because Eddie does most of that for us and his team. So I don't find it hard. I think I just find it honestly, personally, very interesting hearing how people are training, the sort of psychological element to getting ready for a fight, which is for me is like the most interesting bit. Like at the end of the day, I think Eddie said this, you're still a man walking out of a changing room to go and perform in front of 18, 20,000 people and have another man try and, you know, take your head off.
Sure, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Who do you like better? I mean, come on, let's just be honest. You spend time with both teams. No, Joe, it's It's a simple fucking question.
I think you're both fantastic partners, and I enjoy both your companies.
See, so. That's a social manipulation.
Max, the big winner for me in this one. Most talented guy here. And you as a broadcast talent going forward as well.
Mac is very fucking talented.
Our pilgrim photographer.
Shout out, Mac
Bilski.
Give him a little airtime, Andre.
You probably show him on the camera, Andre.
Nice. Look at that kid. Should we tell the story about fucking Idlewild? With this fucking, that's a crazy story.
You won't believe this, but you already told it, man.
What I meant was not that story, but the story about how he dropped his French. We told it, didn't we?
Fuck. Yeah, we 100% did. Go ahead.
My favorite person in this whole promotion was the guy who turned out the fake Ed Sheeran. Have you heard this story?
Yeah. Oh my God.
So he completely fooled Eddie Hearn, and Eddie got him moved to the front row of the fight.
Shut up.
So he arrived, and we had we have a WhatsApp group. So the countdown show, which you were on, our American broadcast team were like, oh, great news, guys. Ed Sheeran's here. And immediately they sent a photo of one of our team posing with this guy. Right?
Oh, no.
And the context was, in Japan recently, the Rugby World Cup was on. Two of our colleagues went to a karaoke bar, as you do in Tokyo, and randomly in there with a Japanese pop artist was Ed Sheeran. And they had like a crazy night doing karaoke with Ed Sheeran. They absolutely loved it. They were like FaceTiming their kids. Unbelievable, right? So I knew he'd been in Japan. So I saw this photo and I was like, that is not Ed Sheeran, right? And immediately, a girl in our office, Arbessa, another British girl, was just like, that's not Ed Sheeran. And they were like, no, it is. We spoke to his manager, and like, weren't in the names, but like some quite senior people in our team who are responsible for putting people on the air. We're like, no, it is, guys. We've spoken to him. It's all good. I was like, it isn't. And then like the half an hour passed, and like the melee of fights started, right? So I go to the front row. I'm like, oh, Eddie, how are we looking? What timing, like working out when you guys are going to walk. And he's like, oh, mate, great news. Ed Sheeran's turned up. And he had seats over here. I was like, Eddie, if it's the same guy, it's not Ed Sheeran. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, I've just had this guy explain what had happened. He's like, no, I've spoken to his people. And he's like, no, don't worry, mate. Like, it is. We're going to get him here. I was like, okay, let's see when he turns up, right? So this guy walks over and he's with two people who are just not the kind of people that would be chaperoning Ed Sheeran. Yeah, they're 21-year-old kids. Ed Sheeran's turning up with two younger friends at an event internationally, right?
Yeah.
They're like, hey, man, would you like to meet Ed? And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to meet Ed. So I'm like, hey guys, nice to meet you. Ed, my absolute honor to meet you, big fan. And he's just got this accent that just is not Ed Sheeran's accent. So I was just like, right, you're definitely not Ed Sheeran. So I sit down and Eddie's going, mate, it is Ed Sheeran. And Frank, who works with Eddie, is going, mate, I don't know, like, who is it? And Frank's girlfriend, who sat there, is going, it's not Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
So Eddie's going, are you sure? Because if you want to kick him out, you might risk kicking out the actual Ed Sheeran. That'd be really embarrassing. Yeah. So I'm like, I look at him again and the guy looks at me, he just goes, I was just like, he knows I know.
Yeah.
So I walked over, I was like, mate, here we've got a mutual friend. And he goes, oh yeah, who's that? I said, John Gleasure, my old boss, he was in Japan. You went to karaoke. He was like, yeah. He came on backstage for my tour in Japan. I was like, no, it was at the karaoke bar, the rugby. And he just looked at me like, rugby, like what? I was like, right, mate, I'm aware you're not Ed Sheeran. And I'm aware that Justin Bieber's about to arrive, who is friends with the real Ed Sheeran. Yeah. So I politely recommend you exit quickly. And he just looks at me and he goes, all right, mate. And he's walked out. It was so funny. And they made that video, like the content creator. Yeah, is it Jordan Peters?
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Bro, so, I had just lost and I'm walking with my team in the tunnel back to the locker room. Just doing my thing.
Wait, you had just what?
lost via the ref's decision on the spot.
Fuck! I literally thought that was the
Why'd
moment.
Why'd you even have to say anything?
Because he needs to know he said. Well, I mean, he's getting there. He's at least subconsciously starting to tell him.
That's
dude,
true.
You know?
You guys good?
Yeah, what happened?
All right, cool. So I was walking back to my locker room in the tunnel and I looked to my left and I see this fucking dude looking at me. With this
Look
face.
At his nose. It's not the same
With
nose.
With this face. And I'm in my mind, in my loser mind, I'm like, yo, is that fucking Ed Sheeran?
Yeah.
But within a millisecond, I knew what was happening and that it wasn't him because it all seemed too good to be true and his smile was too smirky for me.
It's the nose. The nose is like more swollen than Ed Sheeran's actual nose.
He gets paid to look like Ed Sheeran.
He's got like 350,000 followers
on
Instagram.
Oh, he's got that many? Yeah. I like the fact that you had the balls to
I was 90% sure, and it could have really been embarrassing.
Oh, that
how
backfired.
Fucked would you have been if
I would have just gone bright red and would have just had to leave, like, probably go and hide backstage somewhere.
Yeah. Like Justin shows up and Justin's like, "What up, man?" And they're like, "Yo, what's up? Long time since I said." And they start going. Oh,
did you talk to the celebrities that were there?
I shook Dan Bilzerian's hand and talked about betting with him briefly. Justin Bieber very briefly seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he's cool.
I know he's supporting of the event, which we obviously appreciate. Yeah. Amazing. The front row, we had this like, as Frank sent me this screenshot of this ridiculous front row. It was like Wiz Khalifa plus two, Bilzerian plus two, Little Baby plus, I didn't know who Little Baby was before this fight. It was like Eddie Hearn, Joe Markowski, Frank Smith, and then like Bieber, Sheeran. And it was just like, it's like, what kind of world have we stepped into here? It's insane. Right? Yeah.
And I saw a video of, I think Jack Black was there.
Mm.
Did he come?
I think he was there.
I didn't see him.
I think he was rooting for KSI too. Which
really? How does that even happen?
Jack
Black. We gave him a ticket allotment on our side.
We gave him a ticket, one of those boxes. And he rooted for KSI?
I didn't know who he rooted for.
This fucking
guy. I mean, that wouldn't be the only, I mean, technically I gave the entire FaZe Clan ticket.
How good were the VIP boxes, by the way?
They were the best.
The punch through.
The best.
Oh, they were awesome. That's you did a great job with that as well.
That's another example, thank you, but that's another example of you guys and your ability to produce. Mm. Like, I mean, honestly, like, Just being a part of that machine that could churn out an event that has all of every single avenue covered, the promotion, the influencer relationship management. Like you gave me like the easiest win ever to go and approach all the influencers.
Have you guys talked about the fight right before the main event? What was up with that?
The swing fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's normal in boxing.
Okay.
If you're running ahead of schedule.
He means the outcome.
Oh, yeah.
The outcome.
It was a strange fight.
He got disqualified, didn't he?
Yeah.
The back of the head shot.
After the bell going
I don't think
nuts.
He's contesting any decision by the time.
Well, let me tell you why.
How did that get set up, though? I'm just curious, because it seemed like it was just off.
Well, it was a boxing officiating decision. He got disqualified from
the league. No. Like, how did they even match up against each other?
Wasn't the guy that he was fighting? So there's the Logan Paul guy named...
Nikita. Bobby, yeah.
Dragon. And he fought against... The other guy who is well, like Owen.
Yeah, he had like 40
or something. Nikita Ababi's like a very young professional. So he's in like his seventh or eighth pro fight. One of Eddie's early signings.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's like blowing everyone away.
Yeah.
So obviously Eddie's managing his career and putting him in fights that gradually test him more and more.
Okay.
Like I think the first three fights, I think he made his pro debut with us. Is that right? And the first three fights he had, they lasted like collectively like a minute and a half.
Bro, that kid is
he's
an animal.
Yeah.
His speed is like, yo, imagine you got in like an argument with that kid at the local pub during a dart contest and bro, if you get hit with a right from that kid, it's lights out, dude.
No, it's over.
He's like the Logan Paul that can fight, dude.
Yeah.
That dude's nasty.
I don't know how much more of this before I just start beating my friend's ass. Like at what point is it like, do I look around? I'm like, yo, I'm still a fucking strong ass professional boxer.
Yeah, you got maybe another like 5 days of it, bro. Just fucking own it, dude.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's going to go away, bro. We know.
Not until that fucking commission.
Not until that L is taken,
that decision.
Bro. Yeah, so I got to ask, is pay-per-view, in your opinion, done? Like, is what you guys are doing with DAZN taking over?
It's a subscription model, yeah?
Yeah, ours is a subscription model. And our reason for entering the US with boxing heavily was because we think pay-per-view, in the way it's currently designed... The way I describe it is, imagine taking the Super Bowl, the biggest event in American football, and putting it behind a $100, $90 paywall.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. The amount of fights that I didn't watch because of that.
And if you layer on top of that, that, you know, our parents' generation and well, mainly them, have spent $200, $220 a month for a core cable package to watch all the sport, which is insanely expensive in global terms.
Yeah.
Then 4 or 5 times a year, if you're a casual boxing fan, you're asked to spend $70, $80, $90 to watch a pay-per-view event. What that does over a period of 30 years is just price people out of the market.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that, you know, when I was 22, living in my university house, slightly smaller, post-university house, slightly smaller than this one with my friends, like we'd be earning not very much money at all with young kids. And you're being asked to spend in the US at that time, $220, plus 80, 80, 80, 80. You just don't watch boxing. And as a result, the audience is starting to slow down and decline. Mm. So our strategy is bring events into a more accessible environment, more flexible environment in a platform that young people like using. Try some tactics and strategies like fights that you had to bring in a new audience, 25 million people watching a countdown show, watching Mike do his thing. We hope a portion of them will engage with Nikita Ababi, Devin Haney, Billy Joe Saunders, like real boxers who have professional careers to come on DAZN. And if we mold those two together, make the sport more accessible, add in more sports as they become available and we buy those rights, you grow the audience watching boxing. And in doing that, you're doing a great service of good to the sport. So it's a unique strategy for us in the US, because in most of our markets, we're a multi-sport broadcaster. Mm-hmm. In the US, we're pretty focused boxing. On boxing, because in 18 months, 2 years time, the NFLs, the NHLs, the MLBs and the NBAs come back probably in a year, 18 months time to sell their big packages. And if we've established a good enough base here, if we've built a strong enough business, we want to be competitive bidding for those rights to bring them onto the zone.
Who's your sports competitor domestically in the US? Would it be like a Red Zone? Do you look at the Red Zone model?
I think Red
Zone's
an awesome piece of programming.
Okay.
I see us competitive primarily with pay-per-view boxing right now. Like, yes, we compete with ESPN Plus because they have some boxers have some boxers, but they're much bigger businesses than us right now. So our immediate challenge is pay-per-view boxing, because we're taking pay-per-view boxers like Canelo Alvarez, like Anthony Joshua, off pay-per-view and making them available via a new platform. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, democratizing boxing is our strategy.
What's the core acquisition approach outside of influencer-driven acquisition? Like, what else are you guys doing?
We still buy it on TV for some fights. Like, mm-hmm. you'll see us advertising in Sunday Night Football. Yep. We've done that all season. We did that last year as well. We spend heavily on like digital direct response. Via the Google and Facebook sort of ecosystems, targeting people who express an interest in, you know how it works. You express an interest in something, we target you with advertising. They're the big channels. But what this fight taught us is, if you work with a partner who has a platform, or partners who have a platform, you don't need to spend a hell of a lot of marketing dollars, because for 2 months, even if you're not saying DAZN, and by the way, your how to watch video has like blown up the sports industry of like how to promote an OTT service, which is amazing.
Because
like sports media geeks being like, this guy's amazing on my LinkedIn.
He's a case study.
But seriously, you for 3 months, 2 months, once we made the announcement, you took the training seriously. Even if you weren't saying the fight's on DAZN, watch on DAZN, download now, you're talking about an event which crescendos exclusively on DAZN. So for me, like the whole, it was a proper promotion for 3 months across engaged channels.
Crush it.
And we learn a hell of a lot working with, you know, it's, I sound silly, but the I think you have 4 million views on a how to watch video. That is unheard of in our industry.
Yeah.
So that's a fantastic thing for us to learn. And yeah, there's an appetite to do more. For sure.
Nice. All right. I want to go to audio only. It's exclusive. It's on Spotify and iTunes. So Joe, bro, thank you for coming on.
Appreciate
Boston,
it,
brother.
Nice to see you guys. Thank you.
Stick around though. Wait. It's audio only. We're still here, but it's only on Spotify and iTunes. Okay. I want to do some facts with Spencer. Thank you guys for watching. I love you. Hit that subscribe button if you're not subscribed. We'll see you next Monday. Well, you'll see me next Monday. I might kill my friends before then. But we love you. Thank you for listening to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Take it easy.
Peace.
All right, Spence, you got facts?
I do, man.
I'm so excited.
Are they juicy?
For this,
there's some juicy ones.
I'm excited to get back into the facts with my man.
And I want
to.
Yeah.
So the House Judiciary Committee passed the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act, a 24-10 vote on Wednesday, setting the stage for a full floor vote. So this is
federal legalization.
Yeah.
This has been on the-
This is huge.
Massive.
This is huge.
Weed's not legal in the UK?
It is.
No,
it's- Oh.
Yeah, what's the sentiment about weed in the UK?
Like, changing is what I describe it as.
Like, if
it's still like an illegal drug in the UK.
It's probably like the early, like it's probably like the late 2000s here, where people started to like be like, yo, like should we at least talk about this? Yeah. Like, is it something we should at least?
It's so weird how it's legal here in California, but like where I'm from, Ohio, it's not.
Well, yeah, by the way, get arrested.
And
yeah,
by
the
way, it's not federally legal. So technically. If you are growing legalized marijuana in California, you have 6 plants in your home that you want to use for recreational use, the federal government can still technically come and raid your house and arrest you for growing those plants.
It's wild.
It is federally illegal. Well, they are not currently doing that kind of stuff because
that
I think
kick
they
off
are
like a massive state versus federal shit.
And it's happened. Yeah. It has happened quite a bit in other states that have had that kind of medical side of it. They've been pretty hands-off as of lately. But this is a big fucking step.
Yeah, it's huge. So basically what it would mean is that all of the people who are currently dealing with some charge get expunged.
Auto-expunged. Yeah. Nice.
And they have a right to redo their trial. And they're also going to do a 5% tax on sales. And the revenue would be reinvested in communities most impacted by the drug war. So I think it's huge. I saw Joe Rogan talking about it on one of his recent posts. He's like going off on Joe Biden right now.
He's pissed.
Joe Biden is basically saying marijuana is a gateway drug. And, you know, federally, it's still classified as in the same rank as like, you know, heroin and these heavy drugs. So it's wild.
I don't know that it's scheduled. I don't know that it's schedule one still.
It's class low, right?
It is?
I don't know. It's class low as a drug.
I thought it was. I thought it was like schedule two or something like that. But I mean, listen, I don't know that Joe is exactly all ears to, he seems a little biased because let's be honest, the dude is high out of his fucking mind.
He said,
you know what
he
I'm
said,
saying? And
said,
I'm not saying he's wrong, but I'm saying is like, I don't know how much proof you would truly have to provide Joe Rogan to get him to hear any argument that was anti-weed.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty open dude.
He's saying be cautious with weed. He's saying it's not for everybody. And he's saying he's had times where he's dealt with a lot of anxiety. So it's not something he's encouraging everybody to do. But what he's shaming on Biden's perspective is that this isn't something that the government should be deciding if people, it should be our decision if we want to consume that kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting. Yeah. All right. In other news, this is interesting.
You know, this
so
is my Trump, favorite segment of the
Trump
show, right?
Backed off his flavored vape ban. So originally Trump banned flavored vapes in the US, saying that it's unhealthy for the kids. We got to take care of the kids. And then he got a lot of backfire because this industry has boomed. It's a multi-billion dollar industry very quickly. And so now, a lot of jobs were lost because of that ban. So he's revoked it. So all the vapists out there are probably celebrating.
Is this like
rip
a smoking,
fat vape for us?
Is
right?
This a smoking related news segment of the Impulse?
Yeah, it is. Oh, it's all smoke. Yeah, I don't know why. I have
really
no idea why.
You really wanted the smoke.
Nobody here vapes. So it doesn't matter at all, apparently. in other news, so Jeff, you're going to like this one, Mike. So Jeffrey Epstein's guards are now being convicted because of they're hiding records. So they originally ruled Jeffrey Epstein to commit suicide, but now they're finding that the two guards that were supposed to be watching him fudged the records. Mm. So now they're being tried.
This is massively kicked off in the UK. This because Prince Andrew and the royal family was friends with Jeffrey Epstein. And spent time with him after his initial charge for illegal activity with minors. So he's been like removed of all royal duties. By the Queen. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It's been like, he did an interview on the
BBC.
What did
he do? What kind of time did he spend with him?
I don't know. He came to New York, stayed with him for a few days. They had a friendship.
Right.
Which was fine until the guy got charged with certain crimes.
Being a nonce.
Yeah.
Quite literally. He's a fucking nonce.
He's been removed from all royal duties by the Queen. This week. He had a car crash interview on the BBC last week and where he just didn't do himself any favors.
Oh no. What did he say?
He just like tried to justify it and talked about time they spent together at birthday parties. It was awful.
Talk about time you spent together at young children's birthday parties. That'll help you out. On the Epstein front.
Logan, are you aware of any of this?
I see. I see the videos on TikTok. The Epstein didn't kill himself memes and everything. Yeah. And
yeah. Yeah, I also like
the trend. We met with TikTok yesterday.
Don't know.
Don't you?
the head of strategy at TikTok in the office, they were like, "What are your new YouTuber friends thinking about TikTok?" I was like, "Oh, we'll see Logan tomorrow, lots of him." And then today you tweeted, "I'm down for TikTok."
I'm
gonna go back and be like, "Yeah, I talked to him. It's all good. Like, we got him on the platform."
I'm about to be famous, bro. I'm about to do TikTok, become a TikToker.
But honestly, this Epstein shit's fucked up. It really is. It really is. Like, it's like everybody, you always hear these stories about just how crazy things might be up at the top there. And like, you never are really sure like how much of it you want to believe.
No.
But this is some weird shit, dude. Like,
Hella weird. Yeah, it's sad. It's honestly really sad. So, Impossible Whoppers, some news here. I'm gonna report this anytime, of course. So, a man is suing Burger King for cooking the Impossible Whopper on the same grill as non-impossible meat. Is he a sissy? Does he have to get over
it? Fuck you, vegans, bro.
They have to address it. They have to address it.
I will say though, it's completely valid and warranted.
Absolutely.
Okay. My knee-jerk reaction is like,
fuck the vegans. But to be honest, I'd be pissed, and it's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
Like if you're gonna serve that, you got to be prepared to take the necessary steps to make sure it's 100%.
That's true.
What you say it is.
Same way you would with dealing with nuts, with like peanuts or something like that. 100%. Like if you can't serve something that has been touched by peanuts to people who might die. And by the way,
yeah,
but where does it stop? Where does that pursuit stop? Because if you're a person that doesn't drink alcohol and you go to a bar and you ask for a seltzer water and they serve it to you in a glass that had previously served alcohol in, and I don't know
if it's been cleaned properly.
Well, I mean, but all I'm saying is this, like, well, if people are like, yeah, but there's an aura around that glass. It once had alcohol. Do you know what I'm saying? Where does it fucking stop?
No one's like challenging the aura of a vegan or non-vegan piece of meat.
Bro, trust me, if anybody's going to challenge auras, it's going to be the vegans, bro. They'll be like, this grill once had meat on it.
That's true. Yeah.
I think it's because it's like an actual life versus like a glass.
Hey,
bubble.
Andre, would you eat off a grill that heavily only cooked meat on it, even if it was cleaned, like thoroughly?
Well cleaned.
Okay, he said.
Wait,
yeah,
he has
me too.
To because he Chef Katie uses his pans all the time. By the way,
not talking about a grill,
them.
Like burgers on a grill.
Yeah, if it's cleaned, I mean, you're good. You're chilling. It's
I'm just
cooked,
wondering if
you know
there's like any sentiment in like the fact that the grill is like a meat cooker. Like it's kind
of
fucked
yeah,
up.
Yeah, like you're eating a vegan burger, but it's got like a little bit of a shoulder on it.
Well, here's my thing is I've had an Impossible Whopper from Burger King. Okay. So I went and supported and I'll gladly support. All right. I'll have a little juicy animal, whatever.
Wow.
You know, because you know, their sales are up. I am. Okay. Well, plant-based. So their sales are up 10%. It's the biggest quarter that they've had in 5 years after they introduced the Impossible Whopper.
I wanted to spend my dollar
to support this trend, all right?
Is it a trend or a fad?
I don't think so, no, because you're seeing these numbers are competing. Like, I mean, this is the best numbers they've ever had. And you're seeing other fast food chains doing it. Tim Hortons did it a bunch in, Salisbury or something like that? Or
Salisbury.
What? Yeah.
That's a very small town in the southwest of the UK.
That's what I was saying.
Home of the vegans.
They're eating vegans now.
The milk is the biggest indicator, I think. The biggest milk brand in the world or the country filed for bankruptcy last week.
Yeah, what?
Biggest in the world because the
oat milk is taking over.
Oat milk and almond milk and all the alternatives.
Pistachio milk I just had the other day. Like what?
Pistachio?
Yeah.
You can make milk out of any nut, evidently. You know how you do it?
How?
Crush them?
You strain them. You like let it soak in like water, then you strain it.
So you can,
yeah.
Can you make like milk out of nut, like that kind of nut? You think?
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to this episode of Impulsive. Joe, thank you again, brother.
Appreciate it, guys. Good to see you.
We'll see you guys. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.